Afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Thursday, May the 3rd, 2018. 16 minutes past the hour, you're tuned into the Now program. Scott Spears along with you for the next 2 hours. And I'm going to tell you what's coming up next hour in a little bit, but I want to get to our guest this hour right away. I do not want to waste any time because I can definitively say this person is a regular on this show and definitively is my favorite guest of all time. She is almost like a family member. We visit at Christmas over the telephone. We visit at Thanksgiving time, and periodically throughout the year, we have her on the program. I have been to her home, which was a very hospitable, accommodating circumstance last spring. She is a great actress. Her voice just makes me happy. Her laugh makes me happy. And we are visiting with her today because, as we do with family members, we visit people on their birthdays. And this person I'm speaking of will be turning 91 on the big Cinco de Mayo on Saturday. Now, before we get to her, this is the accomplishments this woman has had. The people she has worked with, Pat Carroll, amazing. Sid Caesar and Carl Reiner. We're going to go back to 1957, April 16th, 1957, Sid Caesar's Hour. It was Caesar's Hour. Carl Reiner, Pat Carroll, take a listen.
Any more money, you can just lose what you have.
I'll go on.
Harry, you're a grand sport. And I want you to meet your contender, our charming housewife, Mrs. Blanche Stanley. Mrs. Stanley, how many weeks have you been on Break Your Brains?
103 weeks.
Has it been that long?
Oh, yes. I was here before you were.
Oh, that's right. You were on when I came on. Well, yes, how much money have you won on this quiz show?
On this show?
Yes.
Well, on this show, I'd say it was about $1 million.
$1 million. Do you find that all this money has changed you at all?
Oh, no. Good heavens to Betsy, no. No, we haven't changed in the least little bit. We're exactly the same. Of course, our friends seem a little poorer and a little duller, but we haven't changed.
Well, that's wonderful to hear that, Mrs. Stanley.
Yes.
It's time to play.
The one and only Pat Carroll. Pat, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Oh, that was good to hear that.
Oh.
Oh, my goodness, that was a long time ago.
Can you believe it, Pat? That has been, what is that now, over 60 years ago.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, and I'm not a day older. Oh, that was a marvelous show to work on. It really was.
You know, Pat, that it was an amazing cast. Sid Caesar, Nanette Fabre, Carl Reiner, and yourself. What was it like back then?
It was pretty wonderful because all three of those people are total and wonderful professionals. I learned from each and every one of them. You always do when you work with other actors who are proficient and wonderful at what they do. You always learn something. And I certainly did from those good people.
And, of course, sadly, but she had a great long life. We lost Nanette Fabre early on this year, but I think she was in her late 90s.
Yes, she was.
What was
a good life she spent. God bless her. She shed her talent with the rest of us, and what a generous, good person she was.
Absolutely. You know, I look at Nanette Fabre back in those days, and boy, she had a lot of talent.
Oh, boy, did she ever. And weren't we lucky to share it?
Absolutely. You know, Pat, coming on that program, Sid Caesar, Carl Reiner, Nanette Fabre, was it hard to come into a series like that?
No, because all those people you mentioned were thoroughgoing professionals, and it wasn't. They were generous and welcoming, and helped me tremendously because they are professional people, and they are very gifted, each and every one of them.
Now, Pat, we're getting close to the big 9-1 on Saturday.
Oh, Cinco de Mayo, yeah, ole! And I don't feel a day older. I really don't. I look at those numbers and I think, well, you should be crotchety as all get out. I don't feel any different. Thank God. Every day I'm so grateful for my good health. I feel wonderful. I have loads of energy. I have no illnesses. God has blessed me, and I am grateful.
You know, somebody asked me this the other day, Pat. You don't live in Hollywood. You don't live in New York. What's a typical day like for Pat Carroll at this point in her life?
Well, it's a typical day as I would live if I were living in L.A. or New York. I do what I have to do for the house. I do what I have to do for myself. And if I have professional work to do, I get that done. And life goes on. And I'm extremely grateful at the age of 91 to still be working.
What is work still enjoyable at this age?
Oh, to do what I love doing since I've been 12 is just, I thank God every time I work, because it's something I enjoy tremendously. I get a big kick out of whatever it is I'm doing, because I'm working at what I've loved since I was 12 years old. So what can be better than that?
You know, Pat, years ago, Dr. Norman Cousins, wrote the book on how laughter heals people faster, they live longer, comedians live longer.
Oh, absolutely. Laughter is probably one of the greatest gifts God gave us.
And you have one of the most open and endearing personalities I've ever run into. I'm sure that figures into your age.
Oh, I think so. I have dealt with laughter all my life, and I think that laughter is one of God's greatest gifts, and I see it change people. When people laugh, they can't be grumpy and grouchy and concerned about themselves. They get out of themselves when they laugh.
You know, Pat, in your 91 years, of course there are ups and downs. You've lost people, lost a child, unfortunately, but you've been able to go forward. How do you do that?
Well, you do that if you have faith in God. You know that God will help you get through that. Everybody loses somebody that they love at one point or another. And it's just one of those things in life you can't avoid. But like everything else in life, you take it in good stride. You ask God to help you in your sadness. And you keep going. That's the major thing, is to keep going.
When you wake up in the morning, what is the first thing on your mind?
Breakfast. Surprised you, didn't I? But it's the truth. I can't wait to have breakfast.
What's your favorite breakfast?
My favorite breakfast is probably waffles with peanut butter and hot chocolate and some kind of fruit, fresh fruit. And you see a grin on my face from ear to ear. Well, and I think breakfast probably is our most important meal, because it starts our day, and what you put in you is rather important in the morning, I think.
I think you're right, and this comes to two points. When you live 9 decades, do you adhere to a specific diet?
Oh, golly, no. I never have. Look at the weight machine. But I've been on diets to lose weight, but I've never had a specific other than that diet to follow. And I have been very fortunate. Food is so enjoyable to me. All you have to do is look at the scale to see that. But I enjoy food. I enjoy sharing food with friends and just somebody I met. I like that. I think it's always good with strangers to eat something because you're sharing food together, and that to me is so hospitable. But I still enjoy my food. I'm not on a specific diet. I eat what I like. No food seems to disagree with me. Check the weight counter. And I've always enjoyed food. I enjoy good food, and I enjoy home-cooked food. My mother was a marvelous cook. Oh, God bless her. She was such a good cook, and she enjoyed doing it. She always looked so happy when she was cooking, and I have never been that way because I'm a lousy cook. So I don't have my mother's pleasant personality about it, but she was so darling when she cooked, especially because I think she enjoyed doing it. She enjoyed doing things for other people, and so making food is one of those things, and she was good at it. So she had that sense of pride that goes with it, too. But, oh, the meals that she made. I guess everybody says the same thing about their mother's cooking. Well, it's what we first remembered, isn't it?
It certainly is.
And how good. I don't know a mama yet who can't cook.
You know, Pat.
Except me. I am a dreadful cook. I am just dreadful. I'm dreadful in the kitchen. I don't know what I'm doing.
You know, Pat, I was just thinking about this. Certainly acting would probably be number one. But other than acting, obviously not cooking, do you have any hobbies?
No, per se, no, I don't. I never have had. My profession has been my hobby. I have adored being in this profession. I have wanted to be in this profession since I was 12 years old, and I got my wish. Thank you, dear Lord. It's just been life-fulfilling. I have enjoyed every bit of it, and I love traveling and meeting people who have enjoyed the work I've done. That gives me such joy and pleasure, and I'm so grateful to the good Lord.
At 91, are you still able to get out and travel and meet people?
Oh, yes!
Wonderful.
Oh, thank God again. My health is so good. I use one of those push chairs, you know, to get me around, and I go fast. I could get a ticket if the cops were checking me out. But I have no problems getting about with this wonderful little vehicle. It goes in the car, folds up and goes in the car, and I whiz wherever I go. I just zip about and have a marvelous time. These little things are great for people as they get older because they give you stability and you feel good and you can go as fast as you want to, and I just have a wonderful time. I don't mind aging at all because you just slow down a bit, but everything that you do in your life, you continue doing.
You know, it's interesting, when I was at your home just about a year ago, and I can attest to this for the listening audience, Pat Carroll does not look, honestly, if I would guess the age, I would guess 50s.
Oh, you're kidding!
No, your hair is blonde, you look good, you look upbeat. I mean,
about good, you mean healthy.
Healthy, you got it.
Yeah. Well, I'm grateful for that because we can work hard to be healthy, but it's in hands other than ours, I fear. But I have been so blessed in my lifetime with good health. But I haven't done things to hurt that health either.
What?
I haven't smoked in years, and I don't miss it.
Now, do you have any excesses in life? Did you ever like to drink or do things of that nature?
Oh, Lord, yes. Oh, I had a drinking period when I was a performer in New York. Whoop-a-diddy. I was Miss I'll Meet You at the Bar. And I had a wonderful time. I wouldn't get drunk. I wouldn't brag about that anyway if I had done. But I did enjoy drinking with friends. I enjoyed the drinks themselves. I had a good time.
Absolutely. And it's moderation.
I do think so, because I never got drunk. You know, I'd get a little tiddly and have giggles and that sort of thing, but I never got drunk because that's no fun. I've done that, and I don't find it fun. So it was not something that I wanted to try. Thank you very much.
I understand. Pat, when it comes to health, a lot of people attribute longevity to exercise. Did you ever have an exercise routine?
Nope. I played tennis a lot and loved the game. Oh, that's such a wonderful game, and it's such good exercise. And I would be on the courts before I'd go to the studio to work.
Pat, I have to get this in because one of our other station managers here, Adam Lepp, wanted me to ask you this. What was it?
Okay, Adam, I'm going to answer it honestly.
You're going to answer it, as you always will. What was it like working with Ted Knight on Too Close for Comfort?
It was wonderful. Ted is, number one, a gentleman. He is very funny. He's very cranky and very adorable being cranky. And he was a joy as a professional person because he is a good actor. And he tickled my fancy as far as humor is concerned.
We lost him way too early.
Oh, way too early.
Now, one thing Pat Carroll did, which was brilliant, that maybe not a lot of people saw because it wasn't on network television at the time, but was her portrayal of Gertrude Stein.
Yes. Oh, how I love doing that.
And I have a clip of that I want.
Do you?
We're going to play it for the audience right now. Here's Pat Carroll as Gertrude Stein as she went across the country. Here it is.
Well, he was not about to leave until I agreed to put in at least one more comma. So I said, put in another comma, you out of your mind, period. We followed him to the courtyard, laughing and shouting about apostrophic contractions and the evils thereof.
You know, Pat, you look like you were having fun.
Oh, I was having the best time, and Gertrude Stein was not the world's favorite on any level, but what a fascinating woman.
What fascinating...
She was to me, anyway, and I think I portrayed her as best I could, and I found her intriguing.
How would you describe her? Was she a happy person? Was she a villain?
I don't know about happy, which is to most people, an individual thing. What makes you happy may not make me happy, and conversely true. But I think Stein loved her life. She loved the work she did. She loved writing. And I think did a mighty good job of it. I just found her a fascinating human being whose work in life was also intriguing to me. I don't know that her writings would fascinate most people, but I found them wonderful. And consequently, I enjoyed playing her. I had a good time doing it because I admired her.
What was it like to go up on stage, one person, in front of that audience?
Oh, it was wonderful. Don't tell me any actor doesn't love that. But I adored doing it because I was intrigued by the person I was portraying. And I think that has a great deal to do with it. As an actor, if you are playing someone that you find fascinating, you're going to be fascinating.
Did you ever have stage fright?
Did I ever have stage fright? Oh, my golly, yes. When I first started doing this, I would shake with fear and trembling. And you know, all it is fear of approval.
That's right. That's interesting.
Yeah. You're afraid to conquer that which you are doing, and yet it's the most exciting thing in the world.
When you are out on stage performing Gertrude Stein, do you become her in your mind?
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. That's all baloney. I'm a professional actress doing a job, and my job is to portray that character that I've set out to do to the best of my ability. And I think I did it pretty well. I have to be honest.
I think I did it pretty well.
I enjoy doing it. I don't think you do anything well unless you enjoy it.
So many people, I read some of the write-ups this morning at that time that people wrote in theater review columns. Everybody loved that show. They just thought it was great, and your job was wonderful. So I'm sure it was a great highlight. At this point, Pat, what do you like to do? What when somebody comes to a job, what's the most fun to do?
You mean as far as acting is concerned?
Yes.
Anything. I think any actor will say the same thing. Just to act is a kick in the britches. It's wonderful. And I enjoy doing it. I don't care if it's a voiceover for a radio commercial or what it is. I just enjoy doing it. It's like playing tennis. And it's wonderful. I never get tired of my profession. Never.
On Saturday, how will you spend the birthday?
You know, I haven't even thought about it. I think I'm going out for dinner with a group of dear friends whom I'm always pleasured to be with. And it's such fun on a birthday to be with people you like. I won't have my family here. They're all in California. But that's okay. I know they're with me in spirit, so it's fine.
You have a daughter in the acting profession. What's that like?
It's wonderful. Whenever we get together, it always ends up with our talking about the business. And she is, I am very proud of her. She's done some wonderful work. And I am very proud to have her in this profession because she does a wonderful thing. She makes it her job to make sure that any set that she is on is not frightening or angry or upsetting. She makes sure that every set she works on is a happy set. And I love that in her. I just love it. And I've talked to directors who said she makes a difference. As a human being, she has made this pact with herself not to work on any set that isn't uplifting, and she makes sure that that set exists, and I'm very proud of her.
Absolutely. When she was growing up, did you ever think that any of your kids would go into your profession?
Yes, and I hope they did. I hope that I seemed happy enough in it that it would be something they would like to follow me in. And I had one son, and he was no more interested in the acting profession. He was interested in cars, period. He's gone now. God rest him. But, oh, he shied away from the theatrical profession horribly. I mean, he couldn't stand it. He was not interested in it in the least. Both my daughters have been in it at one point or another. The younger one, Tara, has made her life living in it and has done very well, and I'm very proud of her. Carrie chose not to follow it as a profession, which was her right, of course, but I'm glad to have one of my daughters working in it.
What kind of mother is Pat Carroll? Do you like...
Mother?
Yeah, mother. What kind of mother would you...
Well, don't ask me. You would have to ask my daughters. My son is gone now, so you couldn't ask him.
Are you a protective mother? Do you...
Oh, golly, no. If anything, I'm not protective at all. They have to get their own noses broken.
How was your mother?
My mother was an angel sent from heaven. She knew me like the back of her hand. She was demanding. You had to have good manners. If you had nothing else, if you didn't have a brain in your head, you would have good manners, and I did. Because my mother demanded it. And I think mothers can and should. She was, on every level, someone to follow. She was exemplary on every level of her life. I used to go and watch her, watching people at Farmer's Market in Los Angeles. That was a daily occurrence for her. She adored sitting at a table with her cup of tea and her bun or whatever she was having, and just watch people. She could tell you what a person was like from watching them from her little table. She was amazing, and she loved doing it. And she lived right across the street from Farmers Market, so she had a daily visit there, with or without friends. She did it both ways. She wouldn't do her people watching if she had friends with her, but when she was alone, people watching was her vocation. She adored it. She could tell you the life story based on just watching a person having their morning cup of coffee and a roll or something. She loved it. She was fascinated by people, and she was fascinated trying to figure out what their lives were like. What a wonderful study.
Oh, what did she think when her daughter became an actress?
I think she got a kick out of it. I know my dad did, because that was a secret ambition of his, which was never fulfilled. So he was pretty pleased, and when I'd win an award, he was puffed up like he had gotten it himself, which made me feel so good. And he was so supportive, and so was my mother. They were both wonderful. Instead of being old cranky pots about it, they let me have my head, and I did what I wanted to do, and I had the good luck to have some good fortune with it, and they were so proud and so pleased, especially my dad, who had aspired to be an actor but never got around to it.
What was the moment when you said, I want to be an actress?
I think I was 12. And I couldn't even say actress, because I didn't know what that was, really. But I knew that was what I wanted to do, and I did it.
You certainly did. How did you break into this profession? That's kind of difficult for people to break into.
Oh, it is. It's totally difficult. That's why anytime I can help a young person who's trying hard, I do. Because it's a tough profession. It is demanding. But in order to be demanding, you have to be in it. And to get in it is a tough job for anybody, boy or girl. And I don't envy any child who wants to come into it. It's a tough profession, but very rewarding. I wouldn't give up any of my experiences in this profession for $1 million. And I certainly never got that.
You should have.
But I must say that I have had such a joy in this profession. I have enjoyed playing for audiences. I have loved audiences. I've always done characters I love doing. I've enjoyed every bit of it, from playing in stock productions to Broadway. It doesn't make any difference. It's still for an audience, and you're there to please people. That's your job, like a little doggy with a wagging tail. Your job is to please audiences, and I've tried to do that my entire life.
And succeeded. Without question. When you
what a nice thing to say. I wasn't leading up to that.
No, I Pat.
Thank you. Bless you.
Well, I'll be honest with you. This past weekend, I was just flipping through the channels, and there was an episode of the TV series Designing Women on. And I didn't normally watch that series, but I saw you in an episode playing this villainous.
I was horrible.
Oh, but funny. And to make somebody laugh at the television is very hard. But
it
you,
is very difficult, because usually the writing isn't that good.
Well, you did it for me on Saturday with that character, because
it was a good character, wasn't it?
Oh, she was funny. Oh, but she was mean. But mean,
oh, she
funny.
Was horrible.
Oh, my goodness.
But you know they're the best characters to play, because they have edges. And they're not likable. And it's more fun. Being a villain is more fun than being a charming, angelic leading person. Villains are the winners.
And during your career, you've played some nice people and some villainous people. But you could do both. A lot of people get typecast. Did you ever feel you got typecast anyway?
That I got typecast. That is a good question. I don't think so, but I'm sure it did happen, because when directors or producers are looking for a person, you're a type. You aren't you. You're a type, and they're looking for that certain type. So I'm sure I was typecast many places. But I didn't care. I was working. That was the major thing. And for actors, to work is the answer to everything.
You know, Pat, I read something today, and you never know with the internet, so I wanted to ask you this. In your biography on the internet, it says you were working for the U.S. Army as a nurse for the Vietnam War.
As a nurse?
Yeah, is that true?
No, that's not correct. I worked for the Army as, what was the name of the work I did? A soldier show.
Oh, USO?
Soldier show practitioner. I directed and sent out groups of performers to entertain troops. And I loved it. I loved it. I had the best time. And I also had a contingent of black soldiers that I sent out. And they were fantastic. They were just amazing. And they entertained troops like crazy, and the guys loved them. And they were all so gifted, and we had such fun, and we laughed so hard. I enjoyed that work.
It says Carol served in the U.S. Army as a nurse after the Vietnam War.
No, wrong information. My exact title was soldier show technician.
We'll have to get that fixed, because that's...
Oh, get that fixed right away. I've never been a nurse in my life. Don't make me a big fat phony.
Well, I thought I that didn't sound right when
I'm glad you brought that up. Fix that. Correct that.
I will send a note to those people to get that fixed on there.
Oh, yes, please do, and I would appreciate it.
I will do that.
I would admire being a nurse, because I've always admired nurses, but I would have been a stinky nurse.
What is it like to perform for troops?
Oh, it's wonderful. The guys are so eager to be entertained. You know, it must be boring to be a soldier. It really must be boring. And I think that any kind of entertainment that we can give those lads in the service, we're right to do so. They deserve it. But I enjoyed them. I got a big kick out of working with them, and I also headed groups that went out to entertain. I directed groups of them to go into encampments, and it was called Soldier Shows. And they were all soldiers, and some of them were very gifted, but had been performers before they were drafted. So they brought their professionalism with them. And I had such fun with those chaps, and I traveled with them for a while to make sure that they were, you know, treated well, and all was fair, and they behaved themselves, and it was good. I was glad to have done that work.
You know, Pat, I think at 91, we can go back with a little self-examination here. You won an Emmy Award very early in your career. You have won a Grammy Award. You've been nominated for all kinds of awards and won many other awards. What do you think, self-examination, made you a success in your business? Because certainly you are.
Say the question again.
What do you think made you successful? People can get in.
Hard work.
Hard work.
And anybody who is successful are lying if they don't say hard work. This is not an easy profession for anyone, man or woman, child or adult. And anybody who gains even a modicum of success should be very grateful. It is not an easy profession.
Of course, you deserve the Emmy for your acting, but what was it like to win a Grammy?
I was rather shocked. And I don't even remember what it's for.
I'll look that up before the end of the show today. In the next 10 minutes, I'll figure out what that Grammy was for. But I know you did win a Grammy, but you have a great voice. You really do.
Well, God has given me that. But I think I haven't done anything to damage it. Because I've worked with engineers that I worked with years ago, and they say, your voice has not changed. And I said, well, isn't that good? But I don't smoke. I did for many, many years. But I don't smoke. I don't drink that much. And I don't think I do anything to harm my voice. And so, consequently, I have kept approximately the same voice over the years. And I've worked with engineers that I worked with years ago who said, your voice has not changed.
Absolutely. And you
well,
did.
Well, isn't that wonderful?
It's,
well, that means that I'm not doing anything negative, I guess.
And you did sing Poor Unfortunate Souls in The Little Mermaid.
Poor unfortunate souls. Oh, is that fun? Is that fun? I have done such fun things in my career in the theatrical profession. I am ever grateful. It's just been a ball. I have so enjoyed doing the work that I do.
I just got the information here. In 1980, the Grammy Award was for the recorded version of Gertrude Stein.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, how wonderful. And I have the Grammy here in my other room in the library. I have the Grammy there in high honored place. And I'm very thrilled to have it, and particularly for that.
You know, you have a Grammy, you have an Emmy, you have theater awards. When you're at this point and you look at that, I mean, to know it's the profession you wanted to do since you were 12 and you were successful and you're still working. What?
I can't hear you.
You were successful and you're still working. Does it fill you with happiness?
Does it fill me with what?
Happiness.
I can't hear
that. Is that better? Can you hear me now, Pat?
What's the word?
Oh, happiness.
Oh, of course. Are you kidding? To be, to achieve any kind of recognition in a profession as tough, as difficult, as hard as a theatrical profession, if you aren't happy about that, you're crazy.
In the last 10 minutes, I want to talk about The Little Mermaid. That came...
The Little Mermaid?
The Little Mermaid. Because, you know...
Oh, I get tickled every time I say that.
Well, you know, it's interesting because you have a great performance career, Gertrude Stein. You'd won a Grammy. You'd won an Emmy. You'd been on with Sid Caesar, many sitcoms. And then here in the late 80s, you were in your 60s, comes this character... that is as popular today, if not more popular than then. What has that been like?
What is that character?
Ursula.
Isn't she wonderful?
Yeah.
I tell you, I say the name Ursula, and I get a grin on my face. What a wonderful character. Thank you all for writing that.
Where did
she
that...
She is a great character to play.
Where did
She's
that...
She's big. She's big, and there aren't that many big characters written today for actors.
When
you
that...
know, there are people in this world who are bigger than the rest of us. They just are. And I don't know what makes it happen for people, but they have it in their innards, and it comes out, and it's big. And Ursula... is one of those. What a marvelous character.
Obviously, she was on the page, but you voiced her. You gave her a voice. Where did that come from? Because it is a little different than your voice, normal voice.
Well, by looking at storyboards, it's like everything else that actors are given to encompass. You look at this creature that has been created out of some, try to see what they see. And the bigness is the first thing, but how do you make that bigness unique for that character? And Ursula just had it all. She had it. It was there in her all I or any other actor who came along to voice her had to do was look at that character and make a voice to fit it.
Some other people have voiced the character. Does that ever bother?
I can't hear you. I'm losing you.
Some other people have voiced Ursula. Did that ever bother you in any way?
No, not at all. No, not at all. I think it's wonderful. I think every actor should have a chance at a good character. I don't think it should be exclusive to anybody.
When you went and saw The Little Mermaid for the first time, what was the experience like?
It was wonderful. I loved the film. I thought it was marvelous, and I thought immediately of my granddaughter and how she would love it. And I loved it. I enjoyed it enormously. And part of that was the performance of that character that was given to me to do. Oh, how I loved doing it.
You know,
but any time you voice something, that is always there for you to hear and to say, oh, I could have done that better. I haven't done a character yet that I didn't think afterwards, once it was cemented and there, I could have done that. Maybe they should wait for a year until we do all the things we want to do with the character. But the character has to be there first, and Ursula certainly is. She is a big, big character and wonderful to try to play. And I have enjoyed doing her and having a whack at her.
Is there anything at this point that you would not play?
I'm losing you.
Is there anything you would not play at this point?
Anything I would not play?
Yeah, any role you would not do.
Oh, I have turned down some roles because I didn't care for them. I don't want to play anything that I don't enjoy doing. And that means you can hate the character and be hateful. But if I don't take pleasure in that, I won't do it.
What advice would you give to an aspiring actor?
Say again, I'm sorry, I'm losing it.
What advice would you give to an aspiring actor?
Advice?
Yeah, to an actor who's starting out in the business.
Oh, dear. There's so much advice to give, and all of it is based on your own experience. So there's a whole world out there that hasn't been experienced. I would just say to any young actor, do the best you can every time you're up at bat. Just do the best you can. Ask questions also of the creators of this character you are encompassing. Because a lot of times the people who created the character should be directing, because they know the character better than the director does. But I say just ask questions. Ask a lot of questions as an actor so that you can come as close to that character that has been created by another human being. And they have their own ideas of what that character should be like as portrayed by an actor. I would rather listen to the creator of that character than a director.
That's interesting. Is there anything left in your life, period, that you still want to do?
That I still want to do?
Yeah.
Work. And I'm not being a smartass. But that is the answer to all questions about what you would like to do further in this profession. It's all out there. It continues to go on, whether you're doing it or not. But whatever is there, if it's a good character, oh, I'd like a whack at it.
Do you have a favorite television show that you watch now?
I don't watch that much television. Isn't that dreadful? Oh, I'm so sorry to be honest, but I really don't.
What makes you laugh?
Pardon?
What makes you laugh?
What makes me what?
Laugh.
What makes me laugh? Whatever's funny. And that can be from something my granddaughter does, to something a comic does on some of these shows on television. Just anything that makes me laugh is good. Anything that makes people laugh is good. Laughter was created for people's well-being. It's the finest thing in the world. I'll tell you, to get an audience to laugh is like a general must feel on a battlefield. It is so exciting to make an audience laugh.
What is the best part about being 91?
About being what?
About being 91 years old.
What is the best part?
Yes.
That I'm still alive. And that is the truth. You can't do a damn thing unless you're alive, and I'm still enjoying every day of it.
And, of course, many, many years from now, how do you want audiences to remember you?
Any way they want. If they just remember me, that is the greatest compliment I could have. But they can, that's up to them. I'm just there to do the work. They take it into their lives, they either accept it or they don't, are tickled by it or not, and I don't care, because I've done the work and I've enjoyed it.
Did you ever think of writing a book?
It's already started.
Ah.
And the title is something from my grandmother. It was a saying she had, and it was, and I quote, "It's either an ass or an elbow." Isn't that wonderful?
You know what, Pat? Here's what I love about that. I can't wait for people to go into bookstores and ask the clerk for that title.
I hadn't thought about that.
Boy.
Oh, that's funny. But that was my grandmother's saying that I heard her use as a child.
Pat,
dear, it's either an ass or an elbow.
I love it. One question for you. Since you are writing the book, is there anything about Pat Carroll that we would be surprised to know, that we do not know?
Well, it might be. At one point, I thought I wanted to be a nun.
Really?
Yeah.
And what got
I
you...
I seriously considered it.
And what got you away from it?
The fact that I loved show business better. Isn't that dreadful? But I'm sure God understood.
Well, I'll tell you this. We're wrapping up the interview here, but I want to say this. 2 days before your 91st birthday, your kindnesses to me over the years have always been great. You are the most gracious lady, the most just the best guest. You do fill me with laughter. You always have an open door to come on, and you always come on and are great. And I just called you this morning. I had not been able to reach you this week, and you said, "I'll do it." Nothing more
of
I can
say. Of course. Why not? It's like talking to a neighbor.
Well, that's why I say you are my favorite guest. And Pat Carroll, on behalf of a lot of people who would like to be where I am saying it, happy birthday, and just I love you to death.
Oh, bless your heart. I thank you. I'm so glad I'm here for this birthday. I'm very grateful.
And I hope we will talk again soon. You stay well, Pat.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And it's always fun talking with you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Pat Carroll. We're coming back next hour with something very interesting you're not going to want to miss. Don't go away.
Apartments, located on Fairfax Road, offering newly updated